chapter 3. One of the reasons why we emphasize teaching of God's word during this season, remember we're having 12 days of waiting upon the Lord. And in the New Testament, what we have in Christ is so far superior to what operated before Christ that we need to be informed and properly taught the word of God. Now, again, this is not prevalent in the country at the moment. When I say what's not prevalent, to teach God's word, to focus so much attention on the word this way, and then also to keep praying for revelation knowledge. You know, it doesn't look like it's practical. It doesn't look like it applies to the challenges people have. And then, but we understand from the revelation of God's word that this is the secret to victorious living, which is your understanding of God's word is a secret to victorious living. You don't need a miracle. You already have a miracle. It is knowing how to express it that is the primary goal of the local, which is in a local assembly, you are establishing the truth, you have taught the word of God until you are grounded completely in it. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're looking at greater works. 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 15, it says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Okay, did you see that? It says, "And that from a child," is writing to Timothy, who was a pastor of pastors, was a bishop. Okay, and it says, "From a child you have known." The holy scriptures here is a reference to the Old Testament writings. They didn't have the New Testament then. So Paul was telling him, he said that from a child you have known. He says, what is the aim of those scriptures? The aim of those scriptures is to make you wise, which is it to develop you and groom you and build you up in one knowledge only. They are designed to make you wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. In other words, he's saying the salvation you have experienced, because every time somebody says what salvation there, all they see is just getting saved. That's a singular event. What it contains is much more than that. So when he says the scriptures are able to make thee wise, he's saying there's a teaching. The revelation of the Old Testament writings are meant to bring you to a particular understanding. That understanding, the more it dawns upon you, the bolder you are in your walk, the more accurate you are in your prayers, the more definite are your experiences. Let me say it again. Inconsistency in experience, lack of boldness in practicing the word has a lot to do with understanding. So when Paul is writing to Timothy, he is telling him something. The same scriptures that you read that convinced you about the resurrection of Jesus, it says those same scriptures contain the life, they contain thoughts, they contain facts that will make you wise concerning what salvation is all about. Hallelujah. Let me say it another way. In the Old Testament writings, we have many activities that have nothing to do with salvation. So if you don't understand how do I read and understand the Old Testament writings, you will actually think that the New Testament is also about just any activity. But the Bible speaks about what you have received being explained, you being grounded, and then you understanding it. That's what the Bible focuses on. Look at Luke chapter 24. And tonight we're just going to lay foundation and then we're going to start building. Luke chapter 24. Look at something that Jesus did. Because when we come together and we're teaching, one of the greatest mistakes you can make is to despise what is being taught. Or to say things like, I've heard it before. You have not heard it before. You really have not. Okay? A pastor watches over the flock and he sees the fact that certain truths, no matter how many times has been taught, are still not dawned on the number of people. It shows in their actions, in their speech. Even in what they claim they are believing for, those truths are yet to sink at all. And when people are in that state, anybody that brings a contrary message that will look like it will produce immediate result, you will follow them. You will follow them. That's what happens. But when you are grounded in the truth, in the revelation of life, it's not hearsay now. You know what you know because you have facts to back it up. It's not what the pastor said. It's what you know because you were following as it was being taught. You searched the scriptures as it was being quoted. you're not just quoting, you're actually following line upon line, precept upon precept, until it settles upon your consciousness. Remember, Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, the same scriptures, they are able to make you. The word able is almost futuristic. This, they will bring you into a clearer understanding of what you have already received. Luke 24. Look at what Jesus did on the road to Emmaus. You know, we quote from here a lot, and there's a reason why. Okay? Verse 25. I'm just going to jump into the middle. He was with two people, and they were discussing, and they were asking him, are you a stranger in this place? Don't you know about Christ, that great prophet, how he was crucified? Are you just coming? Don't you have that revelation? Don't understand? They didn't know there was Jesus they were talking to. So verse 25 says, I said unto them, oh fools. You know, you're not fools. So it's those people that are fools. This is all fools. It's what? Slow of heart, what? To believe all what the prophets are. Do you know Jesus is not counting on them believing his resurrection by seeing him? Jesus is actually saying, I expect you to believe resurrection because the prophets have already spoken about it. That is serious. He's saying that the prophets one by one pointed to this singular event. So if you follow that event and what they said, you can't miss this. In other words, whether I will rise or not should not depend on you seeing me. Should just depend on the fact that you have read what all the prophets said. Did the prophets say this? Yes. Did they say other things? Yes. What was important among what they said? What they said concerning Jesus and his resurrection. So Jesus was calling them fools. That was me. It's the same as stupid. And he says they were slow to believe. Now, Jesus won't tell them they are slow to believe. They've not heard some things that the prophet said. But he said, oh fool, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had what spoken. Look at verse 26. Ought not Christ. So there are things the prophet has spoken that Christ is meant to fulfill. Ought not Christ to have one suffered these things and to enter into one his glory. Now, Jesus, in those two verses, summarized everything that the prophet said. He says they spoke about how he would suffer certain things. He will enter into one his glory. Verse 27, and being at Moses and all the prophets, he expanded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. All the scriptures simply means from Genesis to Malachi. Jesus took them to the places where the prophets were referring to him. Why didn't he take them? Because there were things that referred to Jesus that the people that he was speaking to didn't know it was a reference to him. So Jesus had to show them the scriptures in a new light. Let me put it this way. He showed them it was more than my book of Bible stories. It was more than David killing Goliath. It was more than men fighting wars. That's not what the Bible is about. He showed them in all the scriptures things concerning himself. Let me say this again. Why is this series of teachings important? Just to prepare your hearts. It will aid your prayer life. You will leave out things. Let me put it this way. You will stop praying emotionally and you pray scripturally. Emotions and truth do not always meet. You will leave the scriptures not just for quoting. You will use them for what they really are, understanding. You know, there's a scripture we sometimes quote that says that the path of the just, isn't it? It's like one that shines and unto, you know, that scripture is not talking about you, it's not talking about me. It's talking about the just man under the old covenant. So the part of the just there is a reference to what people who believed in Christ coming, what they believed. So when it says the part of the just man shines brighter and brighter, it's talking about their progressive faith. In other words, they look forward to Christ coming. So their path kept shining brighter and brighter until the day dawned. What was that day? The day that Christ came. The perfect day is not coming for you. It has come for you. You are in the perfect day now. But if you don't know you are, you will stand in the wrong place. You will pray from the wrong place. You will say the wrong things in prayer. It won't be because God hasn't done enough. It will be because you don't know enough. The path of the just, for Proverbs 18, is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter. That tells you that whatever light they had was progressive. Your light is not progressive. Your light is finally found in Christ. Christ is that light. Hallelujah. But again, you will just quote it and you will think you're right. And it's talking about the just man who is waiting for the perfect day to come. But you and I are in the perfect day, the day of salvation. It has come. So you see why we keep praying for light. In fact, the more light you have, the more you will laugh at yourself. I don't know whether you laugh at yourself. It's better for you to laugh at you than laugh at other people. Okay? Take time to laugh at yourself. At things you used to sing, things you used to say, things you used to run from, things you used to believe. Understanding produces supernatural boldness. You will know what you know because there are facts to back it up. It's not supposition, it's not hope. It's beyond hope, it's a reality now. And that's the aim of teaching the scriptures. Jesus took them through the scriptures. Remember, he was standing in front of them. To this tree, he didn't show his hands and feet. Let's go down to verse 44. And he said unto them, now he's appeared to all the 12 now. And he said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Which are what? Written. Notice the language of Jesus. I said something unto you that all things which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me must be fulfilled. So while I was yet with you, I told you some things would need to be fulfilled. While I was yet with you, they were not fulfilled. Question, was he with them when he was talking? I need you to understand what Jesus, I need you to follow what he's saying. Was Jesus with them when he was talking? Okay. But so why is he saying when I was yet with you? I need you to understand the language of Jesus uses. Why was it while I was yet with you? Was he not with them right now? So when I was yet with you was a reference to before my resurrection. Did you see that? So while I was there with you, I told you some things would be fulfilled. How would they be fulfilled? Well, I would need to pay the price for their fulfillment. I would need to bring the law to this logical conclusion while I was yet with you. So in other words, he was saying, I'm no longer physically with you. I'm now with you spiritually. Let's read on. Verse 45. Then open ye their one understanding that I might understand the scripture. Interestingly, the word used for understanding here is like something that has never been opened before. It's the same word that used for the first child that opens a womb. A womb that is fresh and has never given birth before. The first child that opens that womb, that's the first child that actually sees to it that that womb is now open or ready for others to come. So when it says he opened their understanding, it was a reference via their understanding had never been opened. That they might understand. So that means that was the first time they understood the purpose and the aim of the Old Testament writings. Up to this time, the apostles did not know. Let me say the disciples, they didn't know. For the first time, he opened their understanding. That means he changed their thought pattern. And that word is that he dismantled their previous thinking. That's what he did. He went through all the prophets, law of Moses, book of Psalms, and show them things concerning him, and in doing that he dismantled their previous understanding so that they might actually for the first time perceive what the scriptures really mean. So reading the scriptures and quoting the scriptures is not equal to understanding the scriptures. You may not understand. Jesus, by showing them what concerned him, was calling attention to the fact that the scriptures, for them to make sense, you have to focus on me. Hallelujah. You have to, one, focus on me. Second Peter chapter 1. And I said we're just introducing tonight, before we go into our main text. It's not even our main text. Second Peter chapter 1. I want to see something that Peter also said. Because I really, 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 really needed to understand this series. Oh, glory to God. I needed to understand this series. I want ministers to arise from this place. I want news, testimonies of miracles to come back home. I want to hear people raising the dead. There are people here, there are gifts locked inside that revelation will unlock. Prayer will unlock. Prayer that's based on revelation. Which is, you know, there are people who have thought they were housewives, but they were missionaries. Well, they thought they were just housewives because the outer coat or covering wasn't broken because light hadn't come. When light comes, a lot, some of us, our full identities are yet to play out. Think about it. What's the difference between then and now? Light. Understand. Revelation. Think about it. So it's so important. If there's anything that's important in local assembly, it is the teaching of God's word above all else. Because through consistent and repeated teaching, light floods the hearts of people. The mindsets are upset so that new mindset can be received. The mind of Christ can be enthroned. 2 Peter 1. I'm going to read from verse 16. 2 Peter, this is Peter speaking. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. That is cleverly fabricated lies. We're not discussing myths here. Old wives' tales, no. So he says we have not followed. That's not what we are presented. That's not what we believe. That's not what we are acting out. We've not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we're eyewitnesses of his one majesty. So the power and the coming there is talking about the word coming is talking about his presence or his resurrection. So Peter is writing to people who already knew about the fact that Christ was risen. So he's now backing up what he's saying, that we were not following cunningly devised fables. Peter said we were eyewitnesses. So Peter is giving what you call an eyewitness account. And then you will think that kind of account is sufficient. But look at what Peter says. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now Peter is quoting from Matthew's account. Matthew chapter 17 verse 1 to 5. Interesting thing is that Matthew wrote it, Matthew didn't experience it. So Matthew must have learned it from Peter. But Peter, who was there now, is telling us what happened. Okay? You know, we've looked at it before. When Jesus went upon the mountain, he took who? Peter, James, and John. And he was transfigured before them. And they appeared unto him who? Elijah and Moses. So Peter is talking about that account here. He says, we were eyewitnesses. So see what it says there. Verse 18. And this voice which came from where? From heaven. It doesn't mean from heaven, means from the unseen realm. Okay? The word heaven actually also means unseen. So that's why you say you are seated in heavenlies. The word places was added by King James. You are seated in the heavenlies, means that in that unseen realm or in God's kingdom. So he says, when we're with him in the holy mount, verse 19, we have also a more sure word of one prophecy. Did you see that? A more sure word of prophecy. Again, the way it's written in King James is interesting because it makes it look as though it's talking about something that's increase or something progressive. But the more sure word here is not necessarily a comparison, it's a description. Under 21 says that we have the word of prophecy fulfilled. We have the word of scriptures written before. We have it now confirmed. Let me read that again. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. A better rendering is this. We have the word spoken by the prophets. In the Old Testament writings, we now have it further fulfilled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's again, if you stay with King James, it looks as though he's saying more. More means increase or additional. No. More is an adjective that describes the nature of what has taken place. So it says, we have also a much word of prophecy, or the words of prophecy, the utterance of the prophets in the Old Testament, it has been fulfilled. We are eyewitnesses of his word, fulfillment. What was that fulfillment? The resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. You see that? So Peter is calling their attention to what? Utterances of the Old Testament prophets. He calls it prophecy. He says that prophecy, it's sure in the sense that we have witnessed its what? Fulfillment. So see what it says now. It says, you will do well to take heed as unto a light that shines where? In a dark place. In a dark place. In other words, exactly what Jesus told those on the road to Emmaus disciples, Jesus, going through Moses and all the prophets, he began to reveal to them things concerning who? Himself. So when it says a light that shines in a dark place here, he's talking about the utterances of the Old Testament prophets, what they were saying about Jesus amidst all other things that they said. Let me put it this way. There were things that were written, Job said, things that Malachi said, things that Hosea said. Among all they said were revelations about Jesus. Whatever they said about Jesus is a light that is shining. Hallelujah. Now, the dark place is other things that they said. In other words, the light is hidden among other things that they said. So the light is there in the midst of obscurity. That's what he's talking about. Hallelujah. Remember when in John's Gospel, from verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything that was made. In him was what? Light. And the light was light of men. And the light shines where? In darkness. And darkness comprehends this word not. So the darkness is right today is amidst all the writings, all the statements, that light kept shining gradually, gained strength over time. So if you don't search carefully, you won't even see that they are referring to Christ. Remember, for instance, let me give an illustration. Remember the prophecy of the Psalm of David, Psalm 27. That should be a popular psalm. How many of you know Psalm 27? The Lord is my light and my what? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the... Of whom shall I be? If you read the next one, the first two, you are in Christ. The second, the third one, you are no longer in Christ. So the obscure plane is what he wrote after. So the first one is the light that is shining. Does that make any sense to you now? Psalm 27, okay. Our engineer is busy. So Psalm 27, the first two was referring to what? Christ. The Lord is my... Who is that Lord? Christ. My light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? What does the next one say? When my enemies... Because in Christ you don't have enemies. You have only one enemy. And he has been conquered. Hallelujah. So now, I said that to say this. If you go and quote Psalm 27 without the light of Christ, what will you have? Enemies. And prayer meetings about enemies. But you have just one enemy. Is that clear? So, do you notice that you can't just go into Isaiah without getting lost, except you read Isaiah in the light of Christ, which is things concerning himself, is what you can bring out, so that when you're writing what Isaiah says, don't forget you are not Isaiah, neither are you in Isaiah's days. People are asking, Pastor, why don't we use Jeremiah and Isaiah chapters and verses? I'm just telling you why. Because you can get lost in the obscurity and forget the light. Notice amidst the obscurity, there's a light what? Shining. If a light is shining amidst the obscurity, it means you have to trace the light, isn't it? Isn't it? You have to trace the light. Jesus took the scriptures and showed them things concerning himself. That means there were other things that didn't concern him. Job wrote 42 chapters. Only one or two instances he mentioned Christ. Imagine that. And it was recorded. So if you go to Job and you are quoting, are you quoting Christ? No. I'm telling us this so that we can see that the scriptures are just not, you can't just quote just anything that doesn't have anything to do with you. And say it's the word of God, it must work. No, some things that are there that are not the word of God. They are recorded for our learning and admonition. So you have, that means in understanding those things, you have to be a diligent student and hear the truth repeatedly for understanding to dawn. That's what it means. Let's finish that verse. So you see, when the wicked, even my enemies. So let's leave this one. Second Peter 1 again. Where are we now? Verse 1. Verse 19. We have also a much more sure prophecy. Whereunto you do well, you take it as unto one, a light that shines in that place until the day dawn. So if the light that shines in that place is the revelation of Christ, amidst all the utterances of the Old Testament prophets, the revelation came into full bloom when? When Christ came. Is that clear? The day dawn is a reference to what? Christ coming. If you're not getting it, just lift up your hand. It's important that you get it. You didn't get it. The light that shines in a dark place is a reference to all the things that the prophets said concerning Christ. But there's the issue. They didn't just speak things that concern Christ. They said other things that didn't concern Christ at all. So the light that shines in a dark place is all they said among other things that they said. What they said about Christ in the midst of other things is the light that what shines in a dark place. Is that clear now? So we have a more sure word of prophecy, or we have the word of prophecy made more sure, is a better translation. What's the word of prophecy? All the utterances of the Old Testament prophets. Hallelujah. Is it clear? All right, so let's go on. It now says, you will do well. He's giving you an instruction. You will do well to pay heed. It means you have to concentrate and focus as unto what? The light that shines one in a dark place. So, you already know what dark place is. That's the place of obscurity. That means all the right things. Until the day dawns. So, the day dawns there means that until you have the understanding that in Christ, this has now been what? Fulfilled. And the day star arises where? In your heart. The revelation becomes full or complete. The day star is a revelation to what is contained in the epistles. That's the day star that arises in our hearts. So the full revelation is where? In the epistles. Which is what? What Christ has accomplished for us now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, I said all that because of what we're going to be looking at, because you need to see why it's important to pay attention. Truths that are being taught will fight certain mindsets that are already established in us. Okay, so you have to be open, ready to study, take the truths, meditate, then pray over them. Some of the truths will never sink or end down to prayer is made. That's the truth about that. Ephesians 3. We're actually going to John. We're going this one about John because I'm laying foundation. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is what? Able to do. What's another word for able? Ability. Okay? So God's working, God's doing is tied to something. Unto him that's able to do exceeding one, abundantly, above all, that we want. Ask or think according to the power that one worketh in us. So every revelation of the scriptures is pointing our attention to something. And that is, in Christ's resurrection and ascension, there's a power that is already where in us that God depends on to do all he will do. Let me say that again. Now unto him, as Christ, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can want, ask or think. Let me stop. What does that mean? It means what he is able to do that is tied to the power that is within you and I. That power wasn't given or made available based on natural human thinking. Let me say it again. The power that's at work in every single believer wasn't placed there or made available. The configuration of that power, the vastness of that power, is not based on human thinking or comprehension. Let me say it another way. Only God's mind could have designed and devised such a power. That's what it means. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think according to what? The power. Now, again, pay attention to the terms. The power that God will use to do all things in your life is where? Does it look like that to you? So you now know why we pray. Does it look like you are housing what he's saying? Are you housing what he's saying? How do you get to know you're housing? Prayer. He just told them in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family even at his name, that I will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit or by that power in your inner man. In other words, the prayer I'm praying will occur where? Inside of you. The prayer I'm praying, I'm not praying for the power to do anything outside. I'm praying for him to do something inside. And it says, whatever it's going to do, it will do in line with the power you already have. That means the power can be there and dormant. Is that what it means? A minister was sick one day, terminal illness. So the church gathered to pray. Other ministers came to the meeting. They had, of course, you know, when they're praying that way, that means they've done what they need to do. They've laid hands, nothing happened. We don't always know why those things happen. Why, okay, laying our hands didn't work. They rebuked, they did everything work. But they were in a prayer meeting, which is the best place to enjoy God's power. You know, we're going to do that on Sunday. We're ministering ill people. Now, other ministers were there, terminally ill. Other ministers, like him, came to pray. While they were praying, a young child of between 3 and 6 years of age got up from the mother's lap, went to the minister where he was laying because he couldn't even get up, laid hands, and the man was instantly healed. Now, how do you explain? An Indian didn't walk into the church. A visitor didn't come in. He was one of them. The best way you can say is that the faith of a little child who believed that God could flow. We didn't have any hang-ups about the fact that, is it people like me that God will use? No. The child was prompted, the child moved, the child went and did exactly what the child had, and the power of God flowed. That power was always there. When the church prayed, they made the power available, or the power got to working. But after the working of the power, there is the obedience of a child. Hallelujah. Did God want that minister healed before that day? Yes. What did their prayer do? It didn't bring the power. It released the power. Not only released the power, it activated the faith of a young boy who did something with the power. Now, the Bible now says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the riches of glory, that you may be strengthened with might. By what? His spirit. Where? 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 Let me submit something to you. Every time there's a strengthening with might, every single time, you do works that can't be explained. Every time there's a strengthening, that's the way you do things that can't be explained away. In fact, you look at yourself, was that really me? That's not where that prayer ends. It says that you may comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of one which passes. You know, it looks like repetition. Know and knowledge. But they are not the same words. It means to know the love of Christ, which is beyond natural thinking, natural philosophy, humanistic ideas. So he's talking about a supernatural comprehension. And he says you are meant to comprehend with all other saints. So Paul is praying for the future church that with all other saints, which is the saints that are in Colossae, the saints that are in Thessalonica, I'm praying that there's something that belongs to you as an inheritance, and that is revelation knowledge of the love of God. It says that you may know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. Now, let me stop and say something. The love of Christ is talking about here, listen carefully, is not necessarily talking about how much God loves you. That's a part of it. He's not talking about how much God loves you. That's not what he's talking about. Hallelujah. What he's talking about, the revelation here, God loving you is one of it, part of it, but that's not the whole package. That you may know the love of God that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all what? The fullness of God. You connect your revelation of that love and being full of the fullness of God. You have to connect the two. What does that mean? Look at Romans chapter 8. I'm not even opened our text at all. Romans 8 and verse 34. Romans 8, verse 37. Nay, in all these things were what? More than conquerors. Through who? Him that is a loving present tense or past tense. Present or past tense? Okay. You will notice something in the epistles. The love of God is never written in the future tense. It's always in the past tense. To call your attention to the fact that he's talking about an activity and that's taking place already. Another word for the love of God is this. All that God did to make you his son. It's what the Bible calls the love of God. Let me say it again. Are you a son? Are you a son of God? Are you born again? Are you a new creation in Christ Jesus? All that God did in Christ to make that possible is what the Bible calls the love of God. So the love of God is not an emotion. It is something that was done, which is now communicated to you by revelation, which now makes you to walk like who you really are. So when the Bible is praying that you have a revelation of God's love, it's saying all that God did, which has now placed some things at your disposal, is what is summarized as what the love of God. Let me show you another scripture. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John 4, 17. Hearing is what? Our love made what? That word perfect means mature. It becomes mature. We become mature in it. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we. Now, what is the love that becomes perfect? You realizing that as he is. Let me say it again. It is not as he is, so we will be. It takes a lot to take that in. It is not as he is, are we going to be. It is as he is, so are we. You see that? Hearing is our love made one complete, mature. So that we have one boldness. What is that boldness? It is communicated by revelation of that love. What is that boldness? Even in the place of prayer, I am not praying amiss. I'm not hoping it will work. I know it will work. Did you hear what I said? Please let this sink in tonight. I am not hoping God will answer my prayers. Your love is not made perfect. I'm not asking 7 things, hoping 2 might work. Your love is not made perfect. I'm not standing upon the word, expecting results, hoping God will have mercy. No. I have obtained mercy and found grace in Christ Jesus. So it says, hearing. What is hearing? In this love. In fact, since it starts with hearing, because you always look at the previous verse. So you see, verse 16. Verse 16. See what it says. And we have known and believed the love that God has towards us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So let's superimpose some of those things we just said there. Previous verse again. We have known and believed what God did for us through Christ. Did you see that? God is love, and he that dwells in love, or he that dwells in the reality of what God did in Christ, is dwelling in God. And God is dwelling where? In him. Hallelujah. Is that clear? So hearing in the light of this is our love made what? Perfect, mature. So it means there's a growth in it. It is not as he is, so we will be. Unconsciously, that is in our mind. Let me say it this way. That is why you are presented with somebody sick. You know the Bible says that's knowledge. That's a lay hands on the sick. But you are thinking, what if it doesn't work? Because you think it has something to do with the feeling of the senses. But it has nothing to do. It is established on fact. What's that fact? In his resurrection, he fulfilled everything he said. To fulfill means that somebody starts walking from that day forwards based on what he has fulfilled. He didn't just say it, he fulfilled it. Hallelujah. He fulfilled it. So when you are praying, you're not praying what may work. You're praying what has worked. Did you see that? Hearing is our love made perfect. That means that the reason why you seem to grow in ministering to the sick, in raising the dead, in casting out devils, because your comprehension of that love is growing. He says what it produces is boldness. It's a boldness that it produces. We have boldness in the day of judgment. That's the word for crisis. Why? Because as he is, even if you think that word judgment is talking about the day that Jesus appears, he says, how will he judge himself? Since as he is, so are you. So to disqualify is to disqualify who? Himself. Now, let me put it out that way. He's telling you it's too late for God not to answer your prayers. To deny you is to deny himself. So your thinking starts to shift. You now understand what it means when he talks about the fact that now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above. Let me put it this way. God is resting on what he has done. His confidence is in what he has done. His answers to your prayer is in what he has done. Except he hasn't done it. We're looking at greater works. We've not even opened our text. This is just introduction. Because I need you to become so bold. Do you know this is why in the New Testament, we pray more than those in the Old. They look forward to what we have. We are in the reality, so there is more to pray about. It means if I spend 2 hours in prayer, my mind is still there. There are still possibilities I need to pray up. I need to expand certain boundaries. I need to bring in certain associations. I need to bring some things within my scope of operation. I need to pray out contracts and jobs. I need to pray out favor, which is already within me. Why? He is working according to the power that is already within me. It means he's now saying, I'm the one who determines how much the power is working, not him. It's like you being given an account that's overflowing. You are giving checks, but you say you're not going to the bank. The money won't come home. He gave you the account. It's loaded. He made sure it's filled. He said, fill out the papers. Check the check. Go and cash. Say you're not going to cash. Nothing happens. You'll be as always without. You have the power to command life or death. You have the power to change things. You have the authority. You are even seated with him. Not just in him. With him. As he's a son, you are a son. When he says father, it's with the same voice that you say father. So there's a boldness that you're supposed to have. He even is our Lord made complete, perfect. Because as he is, that's the language of John. So, when there is sickness or disease, even when it comes to the children, you are standing with God looking at it. You can't last. It's a book. You're not saying, I just made a God will just help me. Help who? Help who? If God be for us, that's part of the law of revelation. Who can be against us? It's a rhetorical question. He's not saying, start thinking of those who can be against you. No, it's a rhetorical. He's telling you, it's not, it doesn't really matter. Who tries to be against you? It doesn't really matter. If God is already is on your side, that's what he's saying. This is the one you want to pray to is already where? On your side. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall you not with him also freely give us all things? Think about it. Who shall lay any charge against God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is it that condemned? It is Christ that died. Who also is risen? And who is what? Seated. Whoever lives to make intercession for you. Glory to God. That's what he's talking about. So when you are praying, pray with a consciousness. I am one with the answer. You will never leave prayer doubting. You will know that you are regulating the rate of manifestation. Hallelujah. You will know. It's an outing that is able to do exceeding abundantly. How? Above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that worketh. What's responsible for that power? The revelation of love. What's that love? All that God has wrought in Christ, which has made you who you are, which has placed that power at your disposal in your spirit. So when we pray, we don't pray to, we pray out of. It's like there's a fellowship with the Father and with the Son that enables us to release things in different directions. We're praying out. We're praying out. That's why in the New Testament, listen carefully again, there's hardly much focus on prayer points. I need to bring our... The focus is pray, pray, pray without ceasing. What are we praying about? Just pray. Why? Because part time, even when you are not actively saying this one, I want to pray about the Spirit within you. He's praying out things that ought to be done. Things you may not even know about yet. Ideas, wisdom, people to connect with, individuals to come. Listen, when Paul, the apostle, met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and Jesus told him, go into the city, it shall be told thee what thou oughtest to do. The same Jesus appeared to who? Ananias. Did you notice what Jesus told Ananias? Arise and go into the street called Straight and inquire for a man called Saul. Behold, he prayed. Why was Jesus calling Ananias? Somebody was praying. What's his name? Saul of Tarsus. So Saul meeting Jesus did not change from that Saul there to what? Pray. What is the next part of the plan? Then that prayer ensured Jesus summoned who? Ananias. That is a picture of how prayer works for the believer. When you're praying, what you can't physically do will be done. People you can't actually connect with will be connected with. When you're praying, angelic assignments are released. So if you are praying for 1 hour, say, oh, this tongue business, just know power has, tremendous power has been generated. Tremendous power. He now gives you the key. Stop it when you're ready. Start it when you're ready. What's that key? Knowledge. Revelation knowledge. As I'm praying now, I'm bringing people into my sphere of influence. People that need to be blessed. People that will help. Do you understand? So, we're not orphans. You know what Jesus says? I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let the exceeding greatness of his power. Power that is over and above what is necessary or needed. He says you can't ask or think beyond it. Because when it was being placed within you, it was beyond human suggestion or comprehension. It's a power that humanity has never known before. Beyond what created the heavens and the heart, is a power that's placed within a believer's heart. Glory to God. It's important that we're so when we're praying, this is why we pray. I would say, you know, because if you don't, you would think that we pray for long because it takes God a long time. No, it is you are working the power out, and that takes time because there are things to do, there are men's will to be persuaded. There are individuals to reach. Did you notice that when Jesus was talking to Ananias, Ananias was busy arguing. And as long as he argued, we'll continue praying, Saul. So his prayer will not stop until somebody stops arguing and decides to go. Because Ananias arguing is to let you know that even among believers that are meant to favor you or help you, arguments go on with leading. No, no, I will not give that money, no. That's not God. We need that money this week. God say, go and give. No. God say, no, no. That person needs that. It doesn't look like it this morning. No, I didn't say it looks. I said, go and give the money. Everybody, but you see, just discuss so and so with the person. That other contract that said that, you said you cannot do. Why don't you just mention it to this person? Why should I mention it? I can't do it. Why should he do it? Just mention why someone is praying. This is how God allows distribution of power to bring about results. Somebody is praying. It's so important. That's how we keep the power flowing consistently. We are praying. The power has been deposited by God, but guess what? God doesn't pray. It's men that pray. So we're the ones who walk the power in the place of prayer. And it says that power is based on love. So I want you to have a new revelation of love. It's not just a feeling or emotion. It is what God has done in Christ Jesus. That's what it's calling love. It passes human comprehension. He said you'll be filled with all the fullness. That fullness is talking about the presence of God, which is the Holy Ghost, because of light that has come on the inside of you. Glory to God. Again, let me say this. When you're traveling, it's not a hit and miss affair. It will never occur to your mind. You know some people now, go to some assemblies now. At this time, all prayers are dominated by Ember Month's prayer. That this month, this year, these few rumors will not take you away. You will not go with the month. As though the month is more powerful than the believer. Out of us comes times and seasons. Out of your heart. The next season comes out of your heart. The next operation of God comes out of, and then you are now submitting yourself to the time. That's what people are doing. And he's asking God for mercy. And what he has done is exceeding abundantly more than that. That God should present them to the, as though, you know, that the animals are dedicated to evil means that you are dedicated to evil. When people are fogging ahead spiritually, you are busy doing prevention prayers. Think about it. Waste of time and energy. And at the end of it, you are more convinced about the devil's power. I hear nothing. His ability to kill has entered your heart. But you are a life giver. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Exceeding greatness of his power. Glory to God. John chapter 14. Went all around that way just to get here. John chapter 14. You know, we said it's greater works. John chapter 14. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And what? Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The statements of Jesus are not separate, they are connected. They are connected. And so you see several passages of scripture where it says, he that believeth on me. He keeps mentioning, he that believeth on me. So there's something about believing on him. He was trying to call attention of his hearers to. He that believeth on me. We have it in several passages of scriptures. He that believeth on me. What was he referring to? Was he talking about his state when he was with them? Because there were people that were with him who believed on him. So we have to look at it contextually. What is he referring to? Because again, this will simply be English to you. It's not revelation until you see it in the manner in which he's saying it. Verse 13 again, verily I say unto you, he says, verse 12, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Notice what shall he do? Shall. Is that present tense or past or future? Future. And what? Greater works than this shall he do, because I. So he's talking about something in the future. So the believing is also when? In the future. So he that believeth on me will be a reference to when he rises from the dead. That's what he's talking about. So notice, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than this shall he what? Shall he do, because I go to the Father. So whatever believing on him means you can't be a reference to believing in his incarnation. Again, we make a distinction when we're talking about Jesus, the incarnate one, and Jesus, the resurrected one, and not the same. That is the whole secret behind the name of Jesus. Because in his incarnation, he was limited in what he could do and what he allowed others to do in his name. But in his resurrection, everything took on a whole new picture entirely in the resurrection. So he kept referring. It means Jesus himself was looking forward to the fulfillment of this. John chapter 20. Let me show you something. John 20. We're going to stop shortly because we're going to continue tomorrow. Just laying foundation. We have 12 days at least to look at this. Glory to God. Are you fired up to pray? Glory to God. Say, I'm a new creation. My kind has never existed before. I am full of the revelation of the love of Christ resident within me. All the ability of God is within my heart. I am strengthened by that ability. There is nothing impossible. There are no mountains that cannot bow. There are no situations that can't change. I am the one enabled by God to change all situations. I am a mountain in Christ. Hallelujah. All right, so see what it says. John chapter 20. Verse 15. Quickly, let's read verse 15. Jesus said unto her, most of us know this story, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be the gardener. This is Jesus after his resurrection, you know, speaking to that woman, Mary. He says, supposing him to be the gardener, I sent him, son, if thou have born in else, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni. That is teacher, which is to say master. Verse 17. Jesus said unto her, touch me not. Okay, that word means don't hold me. Don't hold me. They didn't say touch me not. That's what don't hold me means, that don't hold me back. There's something else I need to do. When was this? When he rose from the dead. So beyond his resurrection, there was something else he was meant to do. He was yet to do. So he told the woman, don't hold me back. See what he says. He said, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we have thought about faith in the resurrection of Jesus, but we've not really majored much on the real message. of the epistles. Because most of the time, when it was spoken of in the Acts of Apostles, the resurrection and ascension were spoken of together, but they are separate events. So this woman, in seeing Jesus, tried to hold on to him. And Jesus said, I have not yet ascended. So as of this time, the new creation was not a reality yet. The indwelling of the Spirit was not a reality. Because he had told them that he will send the Comforter from the Father. But he was not yet with the Father. He had risen, but he had not yet ascended. So the ascension of Jesus, which brought about the Father dwelling in us, is the real message of the epistles. Did he rise from dead? Yes. Did he ascend? Yes. Look at how Peter put it in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. So we'll do a study on this, and we'll trust God there will be a supernatural boldness in our hearts. We'll work miracles. We'll heal the sick. We're more bold about our Christian work more than ever. Hallelujah. Doubts will be cast out. Fear will be banished. There will be holy confidence in our hearts. Hallelujah. So Acts 2 verse 32. This Jesus has gone raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. Okay. And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed for these which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies, all thy foes, thy footstool. Verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's referring to his exaltation, his ascension at the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. Remember what he said about greater works. The works I do shall you do also, and greater works than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. He's talking about his ascension. And that is tied in with the greater works. So there are things we're expecting this season, in this day, that we are confident will be manifest as the light of the truth dawns upon our hearts, and then as we pray out God's manifest power and presence. Glory to God. So there's something about that, like that revelation. As we study in the next few days, we look at it and we get more understanding about the love of God. And then we walk the power. We walk the power. We are no ordinary human beings. We're indwelled by God. That consciousness has to become an everyday reality. We're full of the Spirit. Say, I'm full of the Spirit. I have the life of God at work in me. I am bold in the resurrection of Jesus. His ascension is my ascension. His seating is my seating. His exaltation is my exaltation. Hallelujah. Different words are used. The Father's right hand is still talking about the ascension, the exaltation of Jesus. And that is the root of greater work. Jesus is bold to say the signs. There was no ambiguity about the statement. The works I do, you do. Greater works than this shall. Shall is a definite term, is the strongest term. It's not guesswork, it's not open. It's telling you this will be the outcome of going to the Father. When I go, this will begin to happen. And as we go on, we'll see that his going is actually a coming. Hallelujah. His going is a coming. So once you know his going is a coming, you will understand why he's so confident about the Father. You'll do greater works. Again, in this assembly, we will not permit a mindset to stay that miracles and signs and wonders are for ministers or pastors. By the way, you are a minister, so it's too late to change your mind. You're already here. We're not letting you go. You're already a minister. So in case you are, we're not put pastor behind your name. And that's the traditional way of looking at ministers. No. We don't have to pastor behind them before you're a minister. You're a minister because you have something to minister. You have a portfolio. You have a message. Hallelujah. You have a ministry of reconciliation, and you will be a proof of that ministry. Let's stand to our feet tonight and give God praise and thanks, even as we begin to pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. We're going to pray three things as we're in prayer. How many of us received prayer points this morning? Okay, how many of us prayed that prayer? Okay, Colossians 4 and verse 12. We're going to pray that tonight for every one of us. And then we're going to pray concerning immediate manifestation of people's desires and prayers right now. We're going to pray about that. Hallelujah. Somebody says, what are we using? The power that worketh where? The power that worketh where? The power that worketh where? Now, let me say this. The power can be abused. As we saw in the Old Testament, the power can be abused. The power can be used to produce results that are not of God. It's power. So you can see this, the power is mechanical. So that's why there's comprehension before usage. Comprehension, make sure that you use it right. But can we use that to produce results, which is supernatural results, provide help, provide assistance, provide aid for people that have need? Yes. Say yes. So we're going to pray that whatever immediate needs are, but like those who have, you know, what you call deadlines, emergency situations, financial assistance, that if you don't have it this week, a lot of things might collapse. Sometimes that puts pressure on our feet. That makes us loseful. That makes us sometimes distracted. I want us to pray tonight in the name of Jesus. For every man and woman, Noble Last Christian Center, we pray divine interventions. We pray supernatural supplies. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 One of the reasons why corporate prayer works is because I am praying for you as you are praying for yourself. That means if I'm praying for you, I'm supplying power to move you from where you are to where God wants you to be. But you can refuse. You have a right to refuse. But if you're praying for yourself, that's why when people tell you, I'm praying for you, you better make sure you also are praying. That's how it works. That's how it works. That's why you're joining your agreement. Why do you tell people we're praying for them so that they will also stand where they're meant to stand? If I tell you I'm praying for you so that you also will be praying, you won't nullify my prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why before you come every single day, make sure you spend time doing what? Praying. When we come together, we just had the corporate flow to establish and to settle some things. That's what we're doing. So make sure you're praying. Remember that prayer, that scripture that we read before says that unto him that's able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above all you can what? Ask or think in accordance with what? A power that worketh in us. Colossians 4:12 says that it says that you may stand perfect and to stand. You may stand perfect and complete in all of the will of God. That part of that will is that you will prosper and be in health, even as your soul does what? Prosper. So we're praying for 2019. January 2019, we're praying for everything in this house that they will stand perfect and complete in all of the will of God. Whatever needs to be done, whatever leading, whatever prompting, whatever direction you need to receive, will be received accurately. There will be clarity in your heart. You will be full of the knowledge of God's will. You will take the right steps and do the right things and meet the right individuals. Let's pray in the spirit. In Likano Mostegia. Eke Kugla Roste Freste Kukra Blastoko Ligriste. Esusa Brona Kade. And Ekengu. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Now, I wanted us to pray about the healing meeting on Sunday, but we'll do that tomorrow. Because as I was praying now, I saw something. Sit down for a minute. I need to tell us, because we really need to pray. We need to pray about some things. Sometimes there are negative occurrences that are repeatedly occurring because of ignorance among certain believers, which is some of us just constantly experience negative things. That is evil occurrences. Just keep repeating itself. Evil occurrences. Amen. Now, my plan was that we're just going to pray towards the end, towards for the early meeting on Sunday. But the Spirit of God quickened my heart that we really need to pray to undo those things. We have to. That means we'll pray tonight, but we're going to continue tomorrow. Do you understand that? We need to stop some evil occurrences in our midst. Some people, there's this, what they call like a repeated occurrence of evil. Okay, you know, the Bible says that for this purpose, was the Son of God made manifest? That might what? Destroy. Now, the word manifest and destroy means that the continuing work of Jesus in that area is, he operates now through every single believer. Now, remember we said that the power is where, at work where? In us. So we have to pray until we undo and destroy all those kind of occurrences. Some of it is due to ignorance on the part of those believers. Some of it are due to other reasons. But we're not so much after the reason, but so much after stopping those occurrences. And that will take power. Do you understand? Do you understand? So, since we've been led that way, one of the reasons why we do corporate praying is that we give room to be led. When you come tomorrow, some things, other things will happen, because some of us will have flashes. You'll see some things. When you're praying during the day, some flashes will occur. Don't ignore those flashes. Possibly write them down. There are flashes of things you will do shortly afterwards that God is already leading you in place of prayer. So let's stand to our feet and let's pray. I want us to just pray against negative evil occurrences and repeatedly manifesting a life of saints. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we'll break the hold of the enemy. We undo every work of wickedness. Evil in any form and every form has been recurring in the lives of saints. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Satan, stop in your operations, desist in your maneuvers. We break your hold and your influence, and we command those workings, those activities of darkness, to cease. As an assembly, we call a halt to such demonic activities. He said, thanks, Father, we exalt you. Glory to your name. We have the victory. We have the victory. We have the victory. We have the victory. Hallelujah. Glory to your name forever. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Now, this of the works of darkness, that we don't confess those things away. Okay? You have to understand scripture. You don't confess. You pray against those kind of activities, which is you release power to handle such situations. Okay? Whenever you see works of darkness like that, means sometimes there's a human interaction that makes it possible for those activities to continue, which is why you handle such via prayer. Because there's a human interaction that makes such oppression of activity continue. You see somebody that maybe in somebody's family, when they get to a particular age, you just get cut off. Things like that, you don't just confess them away. You pray, which is you make power available to break that cycle. That's what you do. Do you understand? And there's no better place than a local assembly where you're praying and you're making power available collectively. Remember when they prayed for Peter to be released? The reason why it took time was because it was not just the will of Herod, it was the collective will of the people of Israel, the Jewish nation, that wanted Peter dead. So the prayer they prayed was they summoned power to release Peter from the decision those people made. So their collective will needed to be, their decision was overturned in prayer, and an angel of God was dispatched. So such things happen that you can't just cast and bind. No, no. You pray and you release enough power to bring the will of God to come to pass. Hallelujah. So someone is still going to pray, and I want to implore you, when you are home, please pray. Please pray. Do your best to pray. This season, maximize the time of fasting. Don't just fast. I'd rather you even pray than just fast. I don't want you fasting, you're not eating, and then you're not praying. I'd rather you pray. So that you give attention to prayer. It's so important that you pray out some things now. 2019 is a serious year. It's a serious year ministry-wise. It's a serious year for the believer. It's a very serious year. You have to know what you believe. You have to know what you stand on. So please, this is the time to pray. Don't be found without praying in these few days that we have. Amen? The enemy has been weakened. We have covered more ground. We give you praise and glory, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.